This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am your host, Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I'm a certified dietitian nutritionist in the state of New York. I have a master's degree in the field of nutrition and exercise. And if you'd like to make an appointment with me, please call the office and speak to Grimaldi. She'll set you up. That phone number is 212-779-1744. 212-779-1744. If you'd like to email me with a question for this program or a topic of interest related to health, nutrition, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Want to bring something to you from the world of functional medicine, integrative and functional medicine, of which we practice here on Intelligent Medicine because that's the way to do it intelligently. Are depression and exhaustion as risky as obesity? This is a time of year, it's the holiday time of year, where we see more depression or it becomes more apparent. For those who are sad around holiday time for varying reasons, maybe due to loss, maybe due to loneliness, maybe due to being far away from loved ones, right? Travel can be tough for some people. Or maybe it's tough for some people because they are ill and unable to manage the festivities around the holidays. But let's delve into this one. Are depression and exhaustion as risky as obesity? When considering the causes of disability in high-income countries, depression and cardiovascular disease are at the top of the list. The connection between cardiovascular disease and depression is well established, but our understanding about the bi-directional nature of that relationship, namely how mental health impacts cardiovascular risk, is in the early stages. So, about depression and cardiovascular health, to sum up what is known about the association of cardiovascular disease with depression, one group of researchers from Harvard Medical School stated, quote, depression in cardiac disease is common, persistent, underrecognized, and deadly. I'll repeat, they say depression in cardiac disease is common, persistent, underrecognized, and deadly. Patients with coronary artery disease, heart failure, atrial fibrillation, and implanted cardiac defibrillators are all at greatly increased risk of depression compared to healthy individuals. Yet the evidence suggests that depression precedes cardiovascular events for many patients, which is interesting. You would think that what we did believe about cardiovascular diseases, that came first, and then depression. Depression, why? Because you have a disease that's slowing you down. It may make it difficult to get around or harder to breathe, or you're feeling medication side effects, some of them which do include depression. But this evidence suggests that depression precedes cardiovascular events for many patients. And to round up some of that research, in one study, major depression preceded acute coronary syndrome by more than 30 days in 53% of patients. Wow, that's very interesting. In another study, nearly 50% of patients had thoughts that life was not worth living 2 weeks before hospitalization for a cardiac condition. And a meta-analysis concluded that whether pre or post cardiac event, depression is prevalent among coronary heart disease patients and is, quote, hazardous, end quote. So whether it's for their cardiac or mental health, screening and treating patients for depression can improve quality of life. Screening for and treating depression may also enhance the therapeutic partnership and improve adherence to recommendations along with long-term quality of life. One decade-long study on all-cause mortality and cardiovascular mortality examined more than 3,400 middle-aged men. The results indicated that the presence of depressed mood and exhaustion is a middle-ranking risk factor for all-cause and cardiovascular disease mortality compared to hypercholesterolemia, that's high cholesterol, and obesity. Wow. This study highlights the need to widen the lens for cardiometabolic assessment. Depression and anxiety can significantly impact the course of illness and efficacy of treatment for other illnesses. For instance, analyses have revealed that patients with comorbid depression after a heart attack have a threefold increased risk of death. We know that mental health issues are extremely common across the population. In 2012, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that one-third of all visits to a primary care practitioner involved a mental health component. Patients with coronary artery disease or heart failure are roughly three times more likely than the general public to have comorbid depression. For patients at risk of cardiovascular and cardiometabolic conditions, depression and exhaustion are vital risk factors to consider for public health in general. This is important information. And it's interesting to note that in some of these studies cited here that the depression came first, and then following the depression was a cardiovascular event. So a special population, of course, is aging adults. Statistically, older adults are more likely than those under 60 years of age to have depression and seek treatment from primary care providers. Depression may be especially common in long-term care settings, with a prevalence of 29% compared with 19% in the general population. Furthermore, the likelihood of depression increases with each comorbid condition. It's not fun being sick, right? That's kind of what they're saying. As much as we want to spread the message that your illness should not define you and to reframe things, but it's tough because you're feeling the condition, you're feeling its symptoms, and that, of course, will impact your mood, will adversely impact your mood. When we feel well and happy, we are happy. So, despite this frequency, because the likelihood of depression increases with each comorbid condition, despite this frequency, at least one meta-analysis concluded that primary care providers are less successful at diagnosing depression in older populations. You know, primary care, yeah, they're the gatekeeper to you finding a specialist, right? Depending on your insurance plan, et cetera, et cetera. However, they're not specialists in this area. For aging patients, researchers report that perceptions of time pressure and or of more difficult patients both tend to reduce the likelihood of physicians screening for depression in this population. In a primary care setting, both physician and patient may be more likely to focus on physical complaints than mental health. However, given the importance of depression as a mediating factor for cardiovascular health, such screening remains extremely important. For aging patients who are more likely to have multiple symptoms and or diagnoses, pre-visit screening tools may aid assessment. This puts a lot on the lap of the primary care physician, and you and I both know that they have less and less time to spend with patients, especially in an insurance, paid insurance environment. Nevertheless, for those with cardiometabolic and cardiovascular diagnoses, lifestyle prescriptions are common. Depression can greatly interfere with the ability to conduct normal life, much less make changes and adapt to new recommendations from a primary care provider. There is room to improve in detection and treatment of comorbid depression. This can help to achieve improved health outcomes, as well as increase patients' adaptability and resilience to start and adhere to recommended lifestyle changes. Changing your lifestyle and how you eat alone can make impactful changes in your mood. A lot of depression, besides from reaction to life's events, traumas and things, right? Or loss, tragedy. Besides that, depression in and of itself is often helped by looking for nutrient depletions. When we're low in B vitamins, for example, we may be depressed. When we're low even in magnesium, in nutrients even like carnitine or CoQ10. These are important nutrients. Nutrients that are depleted that may result in anxiety would be nutrients like vitamin B6, zinc, maybe some evening primrose or borage oil. Fish oils are also very helpful because you want the omega-3s to have very less stiff cell membranes to be able to fire, to be able to do its neurotransmitter firing of those signals, right? You want your neurotransmitters to be working properly. Not only do you want enough neurotransmitters, you want them to be firing properly. You want to make sure you're getting healthy fats in your diet, that you're getting enough B vitamins, magnesium. B vitamins, magnesium, fish oil are the go-tos for many with mood issues, and of course, tackling the issues in your own life, if they revolve around any tragedy or loss, to be able to find the right support, the mental health support, the emotional support, the social support. But you're also engaging in self-nurture when you're feeding yourself right. You are indeed embracing yourself when you nourish yourself well. This act alone, in harboring a feeling within yourself that you're taking good care of yourself, extreme self-care, that can help you to reframe the experience, and that you're in a safe place, and that you're taking care of yourself, nourishing yourself properly. And there's more and more reason to do so. In my recent article in the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, I weighed in on inflammation and mental illness. We're seeing more and more mental illness in and of itself. And that includes things like anxiety and depression. So let me just go into this a little bit. If you haven't read the newsletter, and of course you can always subscribe, you go to drhoffman.com, subscribe to the newsletter. It comes out around every Thursday, and you can unsubscribe it at any time, and it's free. So inflammation also plays in mental illness, and if you're eating a very inflammatory diet, it doesn't help. Get rid of the junk food, get rid of the sugar, get rid of the refined carbs, get rid of the inflammatory vegetable oils, get rid of the additives, preservatives, don't eat processed food, eat good food the way it's found in nature. This is the kind of self-nurture, nourishment that I'm talking about. But just to refresh this article a little bit for you, in setting out to determine how chronic inflammation affects the brain, researchers recently found a mechanism that directly links inflammation to mental illness. And they did this in the setting of lupus. As much as 75% of the 1.5 million Americans afflicted with lupus are plagued with psychiatric and neurological symptoms such as anxiety, depression, psychosis, and seizure, the nature of which until recently hasn't been clarified. Lupus is an autoimmune disease where the immune system attacks the body's tissues and organs, and while there is no cure for it, it can go into remission with the proper medical and nutritional support. Researchers sought to determine if these immune responses in lupus are responsible for the myriad of neuropsychiatric symptoms experienced by so many patients. Using a mouse model with lupus, they observed that type 1 interferon alpha, which is an inflammatory cytokine, set off a cascade of immune activity, resulting in cytokines crossing the very selective blood-brain barrier. We thought that the blood-brain barrier was precious, right? Very, very selective, that it couldn't cross it. But these inflammatory cytokines were able to cross this very selective blood-brain barrier. Once the blood-brain barrier was crossed, the central nervous system's immune cells, microglia, were activated, attacking neuronal synapses in the brain, causing them to be lost within the frontal cortex. The researchers concluded, this mechanism directly connects inflammation to mental illness. And while this was a mouse model, yes, while human trials would still need to be conducted, the implications of this research are far-reaching and compelling in that so many chronic diseases are caused by inflammation. Indeed, this may explain the increasing prevalence and incidence of mental illness concurrent with increases in autoimmune and other diseases. So there are a myriad of reasons here why, you know, mental illness is on the rise, and that depression, yes, could occur and would occur when you've come down with heart disease, when you've had a heart attack and you're in the hospital. Of course, depression will likely occur. It's a tragic event, right? It's scary. It's terrifying. But the fact that research is showing that the depression in 53% of these cases occurred before the cardiovascular event is very, very telling and needs to be addressed. And as a nutritionist, I'm speaking of one way, nutritionally, besides taking care of your reaction and in your handling of the events in your life that are causing sadness, that are causing loneliness, that are causing depression, I'm speaking of nourishing yourself well so that you know you're getting enough of the nutrients that can help your brain, your mental health, to be in a better place psychologically, to be in a better place mentally, to get enough B vitamins, essential fatty acids, magnesium, to make sure that you're not low in vitamin D, to make sure that you're not low in zinc or B6. These are very critical nutrients. Among others, this is really just the tip of the iceberg. And to take a really deep dive into that would mean an individual assessment to see where you are lacking in critical nutrition. So these are all areas to be explored. I'm wishing you very happy and healthy and wonderful holidays with you and your loved ones, and to take care and to nurture and nourish yourself well during this holiday season. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.